Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. We back just like that. Wallow and Gilly, that's their phrase, that's their term. This is Paper Route. Yes. I am Athlete, SiriusXM Faction Talk, Channel 103. I'm sitting in the studio down here in sunny South Florida because it is sunny. All weekend it rained, cleared out all of the stuff, and now we're sitting here in paradise. And I'm in the studio with Andrew out west. We got BC in the booth, and we got a special, special guest. And this guy, we're talking about future two-time award-winning, Emmy Award-winning analyst, studio host, breakthrough personality of the year. Give it up, everybody, for Ted Prescott.
Yeah. My dog.
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me back.
There you go. Appreciate you coming back. No, this is big. We said we were going to do it. We're excited about it. And when I was sitting here planning for my intro, I said, all right, how do I introduce him, right? How do I introduce Ted as the, you know, next coming? And I said, you know what? Let's just talk into, you know, future. Like, let's talk about that. Let's put it out in the atmosphere, right? You see what I said? Two-time breakthrough. Yep. You can really win these awards.
Yeah.
Sports Emmys.
I'm
did you catch that, Ted? Did you catch that?
I did. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Like you said, put that out there in the air. You know, you got to speak the future into existence.
That's right. That's right.
Words have power, right?
That's right. So, exactly. So Ted, a lot of people don't know this. We learned this last time you were on the show. But broadcasting, sports analysts, commentating, all of that stuff, new media, this is something that you've actually been working on and plan on building a career around.
Correct. Yeah, like you said, man, a few years ago, guy that's part of Dakota's team came to me and told me, he's like, man, I've been listening to you and one of your best friends talk football for the last 4 years, 5 years. He's like, you seem to know what you're talking about, Tad. He's like, other than that, man, you also speak well. You got a charismatic background too. He's like, I think this would be something that would seriously, you know, be a great lane for you. And like, I finally sat down and looked at it and agreed with him. And yeah, enrolled back at the university. Well, actually, Collins College. Community College, got my associate's degree there, then enrolled at UNT. I'm still there now with trying to get my degree in Converged Broadcast Media. So yes, this is definitely something, the path I'm on and the path I hope to create.
That's super dope. So as an athlete, this is I Am Athlete, right? We grow up admiring at times or mimicking at times other athletes, right? When I realized I wanted to get into this space, TV broadcasting, I started to study other TV personalities. People like Ellen DeGeneres, Oprah Winfrey, even Arsenio Hall. I went back and watched some of the old Arsenio Hall shit.
That's late night, right? There. Look, I barely remember that.
BC, like Stephen A. Smith, BC, like all these guys start watching. So my question for you, Ted, who are the comparisons? So when we think about Ted Prescott, the commentator, the personality, we look out the field, who can we compare you to?
Man, that's a good question. I don't know if I've even looked at it like that because I don't like being compared to anybody. I don't want to be compared to anybody, you know, especially not in this room right now. I think being a trying to be a broadcaster or being a broadcaster, a media personality, I think it's all about finding your own niche. So, you know, I think if people can just look at me and say I do a great job, but more importantly, he speaks facts, he spits the truth, I think that's what I'm good with, you know. And honestly, you know, the I Am Athlete podcast, somewhere that I go to that I speak, I think speaks truth. Ryan Clark is somebody that I admire as far as keeping it real with 100 when he's speaking. So as long as you stand on business, you stand on your stake, your takes, and more importantly, you know, you spitting facts, you're not just living off your emotions. I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to sports broadcasting or sports media.
Okay, before we move on and jump into the show, and then also I want to catch up with our guys, our super producers, Andrew and BC. You say it's truth. So can you put your right hand up, please? Okay. And can you say, I, Ted Prescott, swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth when we talk about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, you said it.
Dak Prescott, where to tell the truth and nothing but the truth when it comes to Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, just as I always have.
Hey, you know, this is what Ted, this is how Ted get out. Ted be like, yeah, I ain't talk to him, so I don't know what we ain't talk about. Yeah, yeah. That's how you get out. Like, we ain't talk about
but
it.
That's fact.
I ain't see him this weekend.
If I don't talk to you about it, I can't lie to y'all about it.
Ted over here. Ted, oh, funny. BC.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the word, but plead I couldn't find it. That's exactly what it is. Plausible deniability. I don't talk about it, so therefore I can't.
I don't know nothing.
Ted gonna give us just enough. Ted like me though. Me and Ted a lot alike. We know how to go viral, but we ain't gonna give you too much. Mm-hmm. BC.
Yo.
So when you look at the landscape, right? Entertainment, because you culture, sports. Who do you pull some from? Like your game. Your game is made up of who? Like who did you watch growing up?
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, shit. We could go all the way back to Joe Clare, Rap City, first, the early Rap City days. If we talking, you know, Joe Clare, Big Tigger. You know what I mean? Like those type of people. But then also, you know, the MTVs, VJs, and the Carson Dailies and them too. You got to take a little bit from them because they were, you know, big at the time with that. Just radio personalities mostly. Yeah, when it comes to like talking shop, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So
there we go. Yeah. All right, Andrew.
This is actually a surprise question. I don't really know.
Off the script.
Brian Gumbel. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
You are like a Brian Gumbel.
I am, but I never see him joke around. That's the thing. Who would you guys compare me to? You have more experience in this lane. Why are you looking at me like
that? Keenan Peele.
Keegan? What is it? Keenan, Michael? Whatever. Yeah, Keegan. Yeah, no, for sure. I have to admit, he might be the first person in history I feel like actually does look like me. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't really think of anybody, but I do appreciate what BC said because once he said it, I could see the Tiggers, I could see the VJs, I could see all that energy behind his takes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Paper Route. I'm Brandon Marshall, your host, sitting here with my super producers. We got Andrew out west. We got BC in the booth. And we got future, I repeat, future two-time, three-time, four-time sports Emmy winner, Ted Prescott in the building. It's time to get into sports. I don't know if you would call this a slow sports weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or did we have anything to talk about?
Before we get into sports, actually, there was some off the field action that happened between a couple of artists. Kendrick, Future, and Metro released a track on an album that is a Future album, dissing J. Cole and Drake. And I got to get you guys to take this. This is bigger than any sports that happened this weekend.
It's actually, well, if you listen to Ted, if you listen to BC, if y'all listen to like some of the artists, not gatekeeper, but some of the old school guys, new school guys, they'll say it like hip hop is a competitive sport. It's real competitive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because I'm not the type of dude to like to tear each other down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's almost like 50. What did 50 say? It's like, everybody think I want problems. I don't want no problems. But if you say we got problems, then we got problems. Right? But I don't want to go around tearing people down, so I didn't understand that about hip-hop. Now, competing without tearing each other down and just trying to push it forward, I can rock with that. And so now people are saying, oh, shit, it's about to heat up now. You got J. Cole, you got Drake, you got Kendrick. They're talking about this is the big three. And
big
now,
three.
And yeah, now they saying big two. And now Kendrick just said, no, it's big one.
It's big me. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm into this, BC. BC, I think I'm into this, BC.
You should be. You like sports. You like competitive nature. That's what this is. Rap got a little too friendly these days. Everybody want to be buddy-buddy and hopping on tracks together. Yeah, man, the essence of this is battle. You know what I mean? Mm. Nobody needs to get hurt. This isn't anything physical. But the essence of this thing is battling and who's better. I don't want to see all y'all kumbaya-ing all the time. Let's get at it. I want to see who's the nicest.
Is there any other genre? Because I was thinking about this. Like, what other genre out there, you know what I'm saying, like, really is competitive like this?
There is none.
Right.
The closest we could call is Beyonce and Taylor. That's the closest we could probably call.
Nah, that's
not. We're talking about
genre. Genre, and that's not even, they don't even, nah, it's not even the same. Because
I think the only one you'd really get is what, like, classical music, but that not, like, just the bands, but, like, don't they compete to be, like, first chair and something like that? So
yeah,
that's probably, like, that would be, like, real competition you're getting right there.
That's
But rap is weird. Like, you can't even be a certain age in rap. You get walked out. You get what I'm saying? Like, you have people who make songs at 20 and pop, and they're still performing at 70.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? So rap is just one of those weird things where it is competitive. It's a little crabs in the bucket kind of mentality, too, because, yeah, it's battle rap, but you're going to say something that's going to be offensive.
Right.
It's not going to be like, yeah,
that's,
you know,
what it is. That's where it came from. I mean, you know, again, like I said, not promoting violence or nothing on that in that nature. But when it comes to hip hop, I mean, from the beginning, that's what it was. The bridge is over and, you know, KRS, MC Shan, like, from the beginning, that's what it is. I'm better than you. So let's see who's the nicest. Like, we gonna go at it. You take your two top three heavyweights and you put them in. Yo,
BC,
who comes out on top? Paul.
BC, that makes sense to me now, hearing you explain it, because when you think about the origin story of hip hop, you know, if you try to paint a picture, you think about dudes in the yard in the park, you know, battling it out, or at the sitting in the cafeteria at the table, somebody hit a beat, and then now we battling it out. So it is competitive. It's always been competitive. And the reason why we're talking about this is because Metro Boomin, and Future and Metro Boomin just dropped a new album, over a couple hundred thousand sold in the first couple of days. It's called We Don't Trust You. And in that first jam, We Don't Trust You, Kendrick comes in and Kendrick take a shot.
But no, it's on Like That. The song is Like That.
It's Like That.
Yeah.
Yeah, the song's Like That. The album is We Don't Like You.
Okay.
That's all you got to hear. It goes crazy. Like, everybody talking about this. Streets is on fire. Streets is on fire.
But my thing is, where did Kendrick feel like he had shots taken at him? Because, I mean, in anything, in first person, man, he praises him. He says, we the big three. The only thing is, I feel like Muhammad Ali.
Exactly.
That's what Cole says. So, like you said, it is competitive and everything. It is about who's the best. But, like, it's like, Kendrick, you feeling little right now? Because that man really tried to lift you up. And, like, so where did you feel like shots was taken at you?
Kendrick looking at it like, I don't need to be lift up. I'm him. You know what I'm saying?
Kendrick has been trying to get in a rap battle with Drake for probably close to a decade at this point, right?
I don't know if he's been trying.
I think this is competitive spirit.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been well, he just addressed everybody. On Big Sean's song, Control, I forget what year that came out, and he just went at everybody. Pusha, Meek, Drake, he named everybody. J. Cole, like, yo, he just wants the smoke on a competitive level. I don't think he wants to see these guys and punch them in the face or anything like that. On a competitive rap level, he just thinks that he's the best. And even with that J. Cole line, and I'm a big J. Cole, I'm a fan of all three. Even with the J. Cole line, yeah, it's the big three, but I'm feeling like Muhammad Ali. And what was Muhammad Ali's saying? I'm the greatest of all time. So even when he did kind of try to bring him up, he also said, I'm Ali, though. So Kendrick gonna be like, all right, well, since you Ali, I'm about to come out here and show you who the real greatest is. You know, it's just the wordplay, man. I love this energy right now. I'm loving this energy right now.
You said you're a fan of all three. What's your ranking of the three?
Ah,
Woo. There you go. That's exactly J. Cole where I want to go.
Well,
let me get us there. I love that question, Ted. So, a lot of heat, a lot of smoke right now in hip hop. Hip hop might be back, and Ted, BC, Andrew, we may have a clear cut one, right? Ted, you were on the show last week. You talked about, you know, your quarterbacks. There was a little smoke that came out of that because I said Jalen Hurts. You had your head back doing all of this. And I'm like, well, what do you think about Jalen Hurts? Top 10. It's not hard, Ted. It's not hard at all. Give me top 10. I say Jalen Hurts, and he looks at the camera and says, you ain't say running backs, right? So when we talk about quarterbacks, where we talk about hip-hop artists, there has to be a clear-cut one. Who's QB1? Who's RB1? Who's wide receiver one?
Mm-hmm.
Who's hip-hop one? I would say this, and this is take it or leave it. Make this statement. I'm going to put it out there to you guys. And then y'all can go into rankings if y'all want. Kendrick Lamar is hip-hop one. What is that? Hip-hop. HH1.
Mm-hmm.
It's like QB1? HH1.
Yep.
He's HH1 by default because we did package them as the big three. And we all embraced that. We took that. We took it. They sold us something, and we said, yeah, we'll take that. We didn't challenge them, BC. We didn't challenge them, Ted. That's on us. Why didn't the culture say, no, we don't want that, compete? That's on us. But finally, someone stood up and said, no, I'm about to separate. And until you hear a J. Cole response or a Drake comeback, Kendrick is number one. So it's Kendrick, and then you can put the big two right underneath. Take it or leave it, Ted.
Oh, I'm leaving it by far. I'm leaving it. But number one is Jake. Like I said, we're going greatest of all time. I'm sorry. The greatest of all time for me is Lil Wayne.
No,
like
not said, all kid, time. Not all time. Just this generation. My bad.
Cole. It, for me, it's Cole, Drake, and then Lamar. And Lamar is by far a hell of a lyricist, but I am kind of like biased to his music at some point because I have like a beef with Kendrick Lamar. Like, I don't know if you guys saw it like a year or 2 years ago where he brought the girl on stage to sing Mad City and then had her booed and kicked off the stage for, you know, using the N-word. Yeah. Like, I get it, you know, but like before he brought it on stage, he asked the girl several times, like, do you know the words to my song? In which she replied, yes. He didn't tell her to censor herself. He didn't say mute yourself. So when she started rapping the word and then used the N-word, you know, he had a boot and kicked off stage. I didn't really rock with that. So, like I said, because of that, I hold him at three just by default. But it's J. Cole, then Drake, then Kendrick. Mm.
BC.
Yeah.
Do you take or leave my take?
I'm going to take partial. Who'd you have number two?
No, it's not. They're together. There's Kendrick Lamar, and there's the big two.
Okay, so I'm gonna leave it.
He's the first one to try to separate himself. He's like, you know what? Let me get outside this pack.
Yeah. I'm gonna leave it really because for me, it's a toss up between J. Cole and Kendrick. But for right now, for the energy that Kendrick is giving me, because he wants it and initiating this, I'm gonna go with Kendrick one, J. Cole two, Drake three.
And that's do y'all hear what yourselves are saying though? Y'all are saying because he wants the smoke. So that's like saying the number one contender because he keeps yelling, I want the fight, I want the belt. He all of a sudden is the number one.
Nah,
no, like, no, put it no, this way.
But he's doing it. No, but he's doing it.
Contender.
But he's not only initiating it, he's bodying them. Like that one verse alone, like Drake, bro. You got to say something. You got to say something fast.
But hold on, like, hold on.
I don't know. Cole, I'm a little – Cole might give Kendrick the business. I'm not even going to front.
Oh, okay.
Cole may give Kendrick the business.
Oh, he's going to.
But I haven't heard it yet.
I don't know.
I haven't heard it yet.
When
I
ain't listen to Cole.
Cole him, but all three of them.
Cole,
Kendrick different too, bro. But I want to go back to what Ted just said. Ted, the reason why I'm suggesting this on Take It or Leave It, that Kendrick Lamar is number one by default is because it's almost like you go to boxing. Do you watch boxing, Ted?
Yeah, matter of fact, that's what came to my head when I said, that's why I said the number one contender. This is like a scene from Rocky where he's doing his press conference telling everybody how great he is, and then Clever Lane comes up and starts yelling, no, give me the fight, give me the fight.
No, nope.
That's it. Kendrick Lamar is the number one contender right now. He wants to be recognized as the best because we see Cole as the best. People
that's the
have
wrong,
said it.
That's the wrong scenario, Ted. The scenario that we need to paint from a boxing standpoint is that the belt is vacant. It's vacant.
Mm-hmm, right.
So you got all three of these heavyweights sitting there, and nobody wants to take it. That's my thing. It's like, oh, shit. So nobody wants to take the fight. Nobody wants to take it. And then the first guy that steps up and grabs the belt, to me, it's him. Now come take it, Drake. Come take it, J. Cole. That's how I
the
look at it.
The thing about it is with Cole caught a stray in this because I don't even think he didn't really go at Cole the way he went at Drake. And like I said, Drake and Kendrick have had this kind of like tension for years now, ever since the Control verse. Drake was dropping music around the same time that this song, that the Control song came out. So he took exception to the fact that Kendrick named him in a song coming at him when he had a project coming out at the same time. So he felt like he was trying to like, you know, belittle his project. So this thing has been kind of like brewing for a while between them two. As far as I know, Cole and Kendrick have a great relationship. So I don't know how that's going to play out. But again, it's all sport. It's all love. Mm-hmm. Right now, Kendrick, because he has the most aggression and he's number one to the plate, I'm going to put him number one. But it's real close with Cole. Cole is right there. Not disrespecting Drake. Drake is nice. He sells more records and all of that than everybody, but that's not what this is about. One-on-one, mano with mano, or one-on-one-on-one, we got to see what that's looking like.
Listen, I already know the fellas they're not going to agree with me. Ted's not going to agree with me. BC's not going to agree with me. Andrew may, but I'm not going to put myself in position to be...
No Diddy.
Left. No Diddy. No Diddy, you want to talk about that? By my guys in the studio right now. So this take it or leave it is for you guys, the public, the people.
You guys help us decide.
I think this is an amazing opportunity in hip-hop. Just like our culture contributor, BC from Brooklyn, said, taking us back to the origin stories of hip-hop. Hip-hop has always been competitive. There's no other genre that's competitive. When you think about hip-hop and you paint the picture of the forefathers, the gods and goddesses of hip-hop, they're sitting in a park or they're sitting in a cafeteria battling it out.
Yep.
Now, we don't want to pull each other down. We want to take this moment and lift each other up. So here's my take it or leave it for the people. But if you guys really are inclined to respond, y'all can. This is a versus opportunity. I'm not saying use the versus, use the infrastructure of versus. Mm. But let's figure out who is him. I want to see Drake. I want to see J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, all on the same stage. And let's take the essence of in the skeleton of versus and put a event on. And let's see. Let's go at it.
That's tough.
Are you guys taking it or are you guys leaving it?
A versus battle, I want that.
Ooh.
All right, guys.
It would have to be a concert.
Heating up. That was this past weekend. We'll see if Drake or Cole has any response coming up.
Hold on, who?
But
hold
let's
on,
get
who?
Into some sports, man. We have some wild.
Hold on, who? It would have to be a concert type of deal because battle raps alone, yeah, it would have to be a concert situation where they perform their hottest songs. This one performed his hottest songs. They all kind of like, and the fans, they on the side. But right now, just the rap lyrics, I'm loving this energy right now. I'm loving it.
Imagine it, though. Think about this. Mm-hmm. That this could be a dope moment for hip-hop, bro. Like, you say it's a concert, BC. So they all come out, they all perform, and then at the end, I don't know what it is. It's like everybody vote, cheer, bring them out, boom, whatever. But come on now, this could be dope. You know what I'm saying? And at the end, everybody just respectfully, you know what I mean? Good sport. Yeah. Like, all right, you got it right now. I see you tomorrow.
Right.
I see you tomorrow.
Right.
Right? This could be dope. This could be dope. Let's do something different, hip-hop. Our moment. Because we used to be the number one genre in all of music year after year after year after year. I don't think that happened over the last 2 years?
I think the last year or two. I don't know what genre actually surpassed hip hop, but there's been a decline.
Exactly.
Yeah, Taylor Swift and everything. Yeah, whatever. Wherever she's
said
at.
Taylor Swift.
Whatever genre she's in, that's what's winning.
That's what's winning. And so I think, hip hop, we need to get back to that. Not just making songs to make songs. It's a sport, man. It's a sport. We can do that. You can make your hits, but also address your situations. You know what I'm saying?
Some rap battles.
Yeah.
There you go. Take it or leave it.
Well, guys, recently Dion himself was actually on Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast with Wallow and Gilly. And he spoke about his son Shador and Travis Hunter pulling an Eli in the 2025 NFL draft. Let's take a listen.
Where do you predict Shador and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from 1 through 4. One of them is going to be one.
Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind four. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you on point.
It's going to be an Eli.
All right, so for those who don't remember, Eli Manning was drafted first overall by the Chargers in the NFL draft, but his camp told him he wouldn't play there. Then he was traded to the Giants. Is this fair or foul by Dion to make these comments, Tat?
I mean, I guess fair. I mean, well, I don't think you could say it's foul. I mean, he's talking about his son. I think he's right. I mean, I definitely think, a quarterback is definitely going to go 1 through 4 in those drafts. He believes, it's going to be his son or Travis, which I'm guessing his son, because I don't see a cornerback going number 1 overall. But I don't see how you make that work. Like, I understand Eli was able to do it back in 04, and Dion has also played in his league. So maybe he has that same kind of power as the Mannings and Archie had back then. But I just thought the NFL had come to a spot since then that, players or agents couldn't have this kind of power. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're going to see a change in power in the NFL. Maybe it is becoming more like the NBA.
Mm. I mean, Dion has a name, right, in the league?
Yeah, Dion has a hell of a name.
Well, I mean, for me, it's if Eli did it, then why can't Dion and his family do it, right?
Yeah.
We thought Caleb Williams was going to pull that this year. Turns out that he actually wants to be in Chicago, like Chicago. Don't know what conversations were had there for him to change his mind and do a total 180, but he likes Chicago. I can see this happening with Dion. Dion has a platform that can be extremely disruptive, right? Like Dion, and Dion's willing to do that. He's willing to get uncomfortable. So it makes sense to me, right? Like, why would you as a player want to go to a situation that you can't win? Yeah. And then you're just going to blame me 3-4 years from now? Think about that. Like, there's some teams out there, bro, that's just been at the bottom of the barrel since we were thinking about creating football. It's like, you just can't have one good year, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. Like, for real. So, if I'm Dion and I'm looking at my son and I'm knowing all the work that I put in to help him get to this position and all the work that he has put in to get in this position and knowing that he has that Sanders name on his back, what comes with that? Oh, you think y'all going to take my – let's throw a couple teams out there. You think you're going to take my son – and within 2 to 3 years, because y'all didn't do y'all job, now y'all going to say, oh, Sanders is terrible, Sanders is that. Now you're going to, try to, knock my family name? Nah, we ain't going for that. We ain't doing that. So I actually like this play by Dion. Be interesting on Travis Hunter, though. A lot of times receivers don't have that type of juice, that type of power. I don't think Travis Hunter can go out there and pull that.
Do you think Travis is entering the NFL as a receiver? I think he goes as a corner.
You think he goes as a corner?
Yeah, I do. I think he goes as a corner. I think it's more money. He's a hell of an athlete on both sides of the ball, but he just looks like a real deal cornerback out there. Like I said, he can come in as a lockdown corner. That's going to be more money on his next contract, and a corner will get drafted higher than a receiver.
It's interesting. I think we may be shifting in the NFL now, and even in all of sports, going back to high school, you have two-way athletes. But probably about 15 years ago, the really good schools started to just say, no, just focus on your primary position, mm-hmm. right? We have enough guys. But I think at the NFL level, Ted, I think there may be a shift coming where we see guys like Travis Hunter play both, you know, or have packages. Travis Hunter has already created he already created this in college. I think it's University of Miami, University of Florida. They have like some two-way players that they're now saying, let's go be that Travis Hunter. So it's interesting that you said corner, because when you look at him and you see how he walks, you know, and just like it, just his whole build, pause, you say corner. But then when you turn on the film, he's also terrifying at the mm-hmm. wide receiver position at times. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does and how teams also work with him.
Would you guys make a comparison to like a Taysom Hill? Because that's like a modern day version of that, right? He plays QB. He's done running back. He's
tight end.
I think he's done tight end. I don't think he's done anything defensively, though.
I think he's more of a Charles Woodson, right?
Well, I was just saying the mobility of
especially in college,
different
especially in what he's doing in college.
Why are you saying Charles Woodson?
Because Charles Woodson in college, Heisman Trophy winner, played both sides of the ball. I mean, he was a lockdown corner for Michigan, but he also had packages where they ran him on sweeps. They got him the ball on screens. He did kick return, both punt returns. Like I said, the man won a Heisman that year. And that, to me, was the first guy that I could say, oh, that's how Travis Hunter is playing.
Right. It's interesting because when I first heard of Travis Hunter was actually when they were at Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm. Jackson State.
When Coach Prime was at Jackson State. And he flipped him. He got him. And the only thing I remember was him being like, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the nation. He has options. He's in a good position. He has options. Damn, if I had to, what do I want as a fan? What do I want to see? I want to see him play both. It's hard. You're talking about 100 something plays a game potentially if you play, you know, all three downs on both sides. But I think I would rather see Travis Hunter. Damn, you might be right. I might want to see him as a DB. There's something special about a defensive back turning the ball over, making those type of plays. And he has a crazy ability, you know, just to get after the ball and find the ball.
Like you said, with Travis Hunter's ball skills, you don't want to see him man-to-man with a Justin Jefferson or with a Jamar Chase. That's something you want to see. Like I said, he gives you that Sauce Gardner personality. Somebody, those corners that sit there and get in your face, the Deion Sanders, the right. Jalen Ramseys, they get in your face and talk to you, tell you how I'm fixing to make sure you do nothing today. That's what I want to see from him out there.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, that'd be dope.
He's got the best mentor right there, Deion, showing him the ropes.
Exactly. Then you got Deion showing you how to do it. And then just with Shador, like I said, I don't think I think it's fair for him to say, but when I say I think the NFL has moved to a place where you can't do it or it became hard to do it, it's just because these NFL teams are always looking for their quarterback. So if you find one, they feel like they got him right now. And then just with the being able to move, with Deion saying there's certain cities, so it's like I wish he would have named those cities. Because if those cities are guys that are constantly winning games and they're picking in the 20s or even in the high teens, are they going to give up 3 and 4 first-round future picks to move all the way to 1 to get Shador or move all the way to 4 to get where you want him to go? So that's what I said. I think it's fair for him to say that, but I just think it's so hard for you right now to actually make that move happen, especially without risking Shador losing money.
Right. I agree. I agree 100%. I don't think that – I know Deion has sway, but I don't know about that much sway, because if you got teams right there in the top 5, like you said, who's going to they're going to give up all these picks just to move up to go get him? Like, he can't dictate that. Now, you might be able to you may be able to ask or look at the top, you know, 5 or 6 and be like, all right, I don't want to go to any of those 2 or 3. You may have to pick out of that top 5 or 6. But just to say, oh, I'm only going to play for the Chiefs when the Chiefs are picking last in the round. How are you going to make that happen? You're going to turn their whole organization upside down? You think that they're really going to, like, move everything around for that one guy? And obviously, they got Mahomes, so I'm not talking about them just, you know, for example. But, yeah, I agree.
But doesn't that also change the amount of money you make? Where you
Yeah, that's what I said. You can't do that without risking him losing money as well. The further you go back, the more guarantee you lose, as you would, I think, because they have those structured rookie contracts now. So yeah, the further you go back, the more you would lose. And yeah, again, like I love what he said. It's like BC said, it's like, yeah, you can maybe choose between the top five. But anywhere beyond that, it's like, man, they're going to ask for four future first rounds and maybe something in that draft as well for a guy that, again, we think is going to be good. But I'm one of those guys, too. Like, you hadn't played an NFL down yet. Well, I'm going to I can't risk four first round picks right. on somebody I hadn't seen throw a ball in the NFL yet.
So, OK, so let me ask you guys this. How does the NFL actually fight back against another family trying to pull an Eli? Like, how do they fight this?
They can try it.
Money. But, you don't draft him. Right. I mean, that sucks too, because of course somebody's going to draft him because, again, that Sanders name and everything else that you bring with it, and again, the athlete he is. But the only way you can fight it is to threaten that money. Like, you know, we're not going to draft him, or we'll just let him slide. We'll let him slide. Or maybe he'll fall back to us in the second round because we feel like y'all are being difficult. I mean, that's the only way you really can to fight it, or just sit back on your hands, because at the end of the day, they're going to draft who they want to draft. And you can demand a trade like Eli did or say what you want, but it's up to that front office now to move you, or you just don't play for them.
Right. I feel like behind the scenes, that's kind of what happened with Caleb Williams. Mm. Like, we haven't heard it in about 2 months or so, right? Like, don't you feel the same way where, you know, it was they were adamant about this, and his dad was very – outspoken about a few things, and one of them being that we don't want to play for these teams, and the Chicago Bears were one of them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is before they even secured the number one overall pick, I believe.
Yeah,
these things start coming out. And then now all of a sudden you want to go to Chicago, right? So I feel like something happened behind the scenes where, you know, owner or maybe some legends came together through owners and was like, look, you can't move this way, right? Because you asked the question, what can the owners do? What can they do? And it's simple. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, they still have the power. Like, if I'm an owner, this is how I would rock. Say I'm the owner of Chicago Bears, and I believe in me. I believe in my team. We ain't getting it. We haven't gotten it done in 10 or so years, right? It'd be like that sometime. And I got a player, this young player, telling me, I don't want to play for your organization. I'm the type of dude to be petty and still draft your ass. Shit, I might draft two quarterbacks. I draft your ass, go move up, get another quarterback, have your ass
sit there for 4 years.
I'm that guy. Right.
Right.
That's what I would have done. I would have been Chicago. Keep Justin Fields, draft Caleb Williams. Caleb, you sit on the bench for a couple more years. And then people would look at me like I'm crazy. That's what
Bruh. He would have been out of there.
Right. And I think there's owners like that for sure. You got to think about it. These dudes are
it's only 32
billionaires, right? Like, you got to think that comes with ego. A
lot of
ego.
You
said a B. Yeah, B.
Billions with a B. All right, guys. We got some somewhat weird news coming out from the NFL. It's big news, though, because the NFL owners meeting basically came out saying the hip drop tackle has been banned by the league in another effort to minimize injuries to offensive players. Not surprisingly, though, defensive players are not happy.
Of course they are not. Go ahead. Keep
yeah. J.J. Watt specifically spoke earlier today, posting, just fast forward to the belts with flags on them. First, explain what the hip drop tackle is for me, B, and then tell us what you think about his new rule.
First off, I respect J.J. Watt, and there was a time where I thought J.J. Watt could potentially do what Aaron Donald ended up doing and becoming the best player in the NFL, right? We know of LT. We know of Reggie White. J.J. Watt was that good, and I'm saying that because I totally disagree with J.J. Watt. This doesn't apply to him, but I understand why he's saying it. He's saying it because the game is built around offense and us scoring more points and protecting those players, which protects what? The product, which also generates more revenue. But this doesn't apply to J.J. Watt because J.J. Watt didn't have to do this. Only bums do the hip drop. There's only one or two things that pisses me off playing ball, and this is one of them. Right? Like, come on, you don't got to do that. Like, this move has ended careers. Right, we're all in it together. Like, yes, let's go out there and compete. It could be volatile. You know what I mean? It could be violent. It could be aggressive. It could be all those things. But at the end of the day, like, you might be on my team next year. Or at the end of the day, like, I want to see you buy your mom a crib. I want to see you take care of yourself for the next 20, 30 years or your kids' kids. there's some things that just doesn't make sense to me. Just like on the offensive side, like when they took out crackback, and I appreciated that. Like, man, I de-cleated people. I put people out of games. I put people out weeks. And then at the end of the day, it's like, I can still get my job done without taking this man's head off.
Yeah.
Right? And so this hip drop thing for me is one of those things like, bro, just be in position. Don't get your ass beat. Or you know, grab my leg. But you ain't got to. It's like a wrestling move, bro. It's not for football.
Do this for me, just so that everyone understands.
I can't even tell you what a hip drop is, bro. It's like I wouldn't know how to describe. It's like they grab you and then they like kick their feet up and they put all their weight on you and they just pull you down. And that's where you see the knees,
the ankles,
those type of injuries.
Correct.
I thought that was just a natural tackle technique or something like that they did. I didn't even know that it was a thing that they could change. I thought people just did that because that was the best way to get somebody down.
Yeah, especially if they're running a little faster.
It is. And you practice all these techniques, like there's like alligator roll, like, bro, they sit there before practice 30 minutes with the special teams coach, some of these defensive guys, and they practice all these different techniques. And some of them are needed. This is one of those. It was needed because you got dynamic guys. Just imagine trying to catch a Tyreek Hill, and when you get him, you might barely be getting there. So how do you get him down? So,
Ted, was this actually similar to Dak's injury?
It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. Logan Ryan took him out, which is why I disagree would be a little bit. I don't think only bums do it, because I don't think Logan Ryan's bum, and I don't think there was like any malice when it's done. I think what that was a smaller man being drugged by a bigger man, and that's what the hip drop is. Like, I mean, yeah, it sucks. It leads to injuries, and they do have to remove it, because again, this is all about money. Like you said, we're losing guys. I watched my brother lose an entire season to it. We've seen other guys lose it. But like I said, at the end of the day, I don't think these guys were doing that tackle intentionally to be dirty with the chance of knowing I'm going to injure this guy. I think, like Brandon said, they got beat. They're out of place. And most of the time when you see the hit drop, it's on guys like Derrick Henry. It's on guys like Dak. Like I said, sometimes we see these receivers get caught with it, but very rare. Most time it's a bigger guy trying to be tackled by one of these smaller guys. And like BC said, that's the only way, especially in their mind in that moment, that I can get this big guy on the ground. And my job is to do that, to get him on the ground. I'm not thinking about injuring him, because again, this is football and anybody could get injured on any play. This is just the only way I knew to get him down at that moment. So I think it's going to be tough for him this year not doing it. Like I said, I don't think this is going to be like the face mask where it was just kind of like, oh cool, we can get rid of that quick. I think they're going to have a lot of penalties this year on this year and maybe even the following year, because that's going to be hard for guys to change. That's going to be something that they're going to have to start changing now at like the little league levels, at middle school level, because it's going to be hard in the next couple years in the NFL just to get rid of that.
But listen, in college, we had 6 safeties go down my junior year, and I end up going back to the defensive side. And I mean, I played, you know, everything in high school and college. My position was wide receiver. Those guys go down my junior year, I go over to the safety. And the reason why I just really don't like this, Ted, BC, Andrew, is because I feel there are other ways of getting guys down. Like you said, your brother, you have Logan Ryan. Logan knew, he knows the risk of this. He knew all these guys. And I'm not saying Logan is a bad player. I'm not saying the guys that do it are dirty, because it was allowed. It's taught. But when you know, like, man, I do this, my brother's ACL, ankle can go, right? Like, we're talking about, I don't even know the chances, you know, feel like maybe 40% of the time when someone uses this hip drop, a guy has something. It may not be, you know, a season ending or game ending, but it could be something, some little tweak. I just think it's bad business, man.
Do they know? Yeah. You said he knows the risk of the injury. It's like, if they know the risk of injury, how come Dak's injury was, what, 2019, 2020? How come now in 2024 we're just now getting rid of it? Like, it seems like it just became one of those things that just became prevalent. Like, oh, so more and more injuries are taking place, so now they took notice. Is it something that 4 or 5 years ago that guys truly put emphasis on that, oh, this tackle may hurt somebody?
Yeah, so what ended up happening, my last year in the league was 2018, right? And probably 2015, 2016, like, you'll see these trends. You know, it's a copycat league. When you go into practice, you'll see guys teaching or learning new techniques, right? And a lot of it happens on the special team side because there's so much going on. And so, like, literally teaching guys how to dive and then roll. They call it gator roll, right? Yeah. Like, we didn't do that in 2006, 2008 when I first got in the league. You didn't teach it that way. And so right around that time, probably 2015, 2016, you saw drills being implemented in practice or pre-practice or after practice with guys learning this. So the reason why I feel like it probably took a while to get to this point is because we was trying to figure out what it was. And now after looking at the last, you know, 10 years or so and seeing guys really be banged up and guys start complaining more, that's how we got here, right? Because it's almost like a new thing. You go back, it's happened before and guys have used it, but now we're teaching it and we're using it more than just the basic technique of lowering your shoulder, keep your head out of the tackle, and just make the play. And a lot of it is because these defenders are out of position. They're just in bad position. That's what it is.
I have to ask this question. And Tad, BC, chime in. Like, is this, I don't want to say lazy, but I want to say slower man's tackle. And what I mean is, same to the horse collar, right?
Yep.
Most times these tackles are taking place when the offensive player is already ahead of you. So, like, is this just, like, a last-ditch effort type of tackle? Like, I can't catch up to him. Let me just dive at his hips and drag him? Same way the horse collar was?
It's a mixture of things, right? It's that. It's also just you got Derrick Henry coming. How the hell are you going to get Derrick Henry down?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Once he's already passed
you. Like you said, it's not a lazy tackle. It's like you just said. It's like, and I just want B to answer for me. It's like you keep saying there's other ways to tackle him. Which again, I want people to understand. I'm not like standing up for this rule. Like, oh, they shouldn't have done this. I agree with the rule. I'm glad it got implemented. But doesn't this limit guys' ways of getting people on the ground? Because like you just said, you got Derrick Henry, who's not only coming at you. We've seen Derrick Henry get past a safety and outrun him. We've seen him outrun a corner. So now if you do have a corner that has an angle and now you're behind Derrick Henry or you're at Derrick Henry's hips, your only way you're telling this smaller guy to get Derrick down is you have to wrap him around his waist and knees or legs and tackle him. We've seen Derrick throw those guys 15 yards down the field as they attempt to do that. See, so now you're basically saying if Derrick gets out in front of you, let Derrick go score.
Right.
But here's the problem. So I referred to it and you pushed back on me. I said, this is bums use this technique. Now, yes, you don't have as many options to take down a Derrick Henry.
You don't have any.
But when you try to use the regular technique to take down a Derrick Henry, this is where we call a dum-dum. This is for dum-dums. Like, don't go to Derrick Henry and try to put your shoulder pad in his numbers. Don't go to Derrick Henry try to put your shoulder pad in his thigh board. Like, I mean, or like his hip area. You got to go low with some of those guys. Pause. Hey. Like, yeah, I said, yo. But you got to go low. Like, we're talking about knees, ankles. And it's not like a cheap shots. So you just go low and you wrap
up. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't go high. You got to get their feet from up underneath them. And that's how you take guys like Derrick Henry down.
Imagine the back foot of Derrick Henry kicking in your helmet. Yeah.
Like, even, but think about it. But even what you just said, though, your brother. Dak Prescott is fucking averaging 499 yards a game. Like, y'all don't even pull up that year. Yeah, you want to talk about it. 499 yards of offense. Yeah, you're like, damn, B know his shit. Yeah, I know my shit. Bro, we're talking about amazing football being played. Amazing football being played. He's in the pocket. He gets pushed out the pocket. He goes out to his left. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Goes out to his left. Here come Logan Ryan. This is a quarterback. This ain't Derrick Henry.
Hey, don't disrespect that man like that. That's a big quarterback. Yeah, big quarterback.
He is. But still, you don't see no Dak or you don't even see Josh Allen. Every once in a while, Josh might do something dumb and lower his shoulder. But you're not seeing these guys lower his shoulder. Why did Logan Ryan, who I love and respect, like Logan Ryan? What's up, brother? Hope everything's going well. But while you're a cornerback, going against a quarterback, why did you have to use that technique? You didn't have to use that technique. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to use that technique. Think about it.
I think the heat of the moment, again, you guys can speak to it more, B. In that heat of the moment, you're running – it's a matter of seconds, right? If you got to think, oh, I can't hit him this way. By the time you figure out the right way to hit him, he's out of here. You know what I mean? Exactly. Now like, you just opened up the offense. That's why I think this rule kind of just opens up the offense now, because now you have guys double guessing, second guessing themselves because, oh, I can't hit them this way. We already can't do the horse collar, which I agree with. I agree with the rules, but now this just makes everyone more, oh, I can't hit you this way, or we're going to get a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
Oh, I can't. If I hit him, or if I don't hit him this way, I can't take him down. He's gone for a long run. TD. You know what I mean? So I asking these guys to like change the way they play in a split second when they're trying to get whoever it is down from a fourth and one or a third and short. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't let them break this long run.
It's tough. It's tough.
You know what I mean?
Like you said, trying to make that decision in the split moment, because again, if I asked you, what is more of a guarantee to tackle that man? You diving at his ankles while he's also still running full speed. We've seen guys jump at these guys' ankles, and it's like they weren't even standing there. They matrixed them. So what you have? Are you going to guarantee me that I'm going to tackle him jumping at his ankles, or I'm going to tackle him doing this hip drop?
No, that's the thing. Why, don't be in practice practicing the hip drop. Practice timing up. But my thing is, practice more of what you just said.
Timing the leg.
Yeah, timing the leg. You ever seen Troy Polamalu miss that tackle? No. That's turn on film. You want to see some teach
tape?
He get
up so quick after he does those.
Troy Polamalu, well, he did the hip drop a couple times too. Troy Polamalu was wild. He ain't care. Shit, he was out there doing MMA moves and shit before MMA was popular.
He was jumping 8 feet.
Yeah, you
in
go
air.
To stiff arm. You go to stiff arm. Troy Polamalu, man, he puts you in like some shit. Man, like Troy, give my arm back. Bro, you be out there begging for your arm, and then he throw the shit at you like, don't ever stiff arm me again. Man, Troy was different, bro. Troy was different, dog. Troy, I love Troy, man.
Speaking of past players, like, Brent, I got a question for you because you said something earlier when this segment first started. You don't think J.J. Watt was ever like a Lawrence or an Aaron Donald? You don't think ever at any time in the NFL people said J.J. Watt was the best?
Oh, yes. But what I was saying is I thought J.J. Watt was going to end his career as the best defensive player we've ever seen, right?
I got
you. But then he started getting banged up. And he couldn't sustain it as long as we thought he would. Even Aaron Donald, like I feel like, damn, if Aaron Donald could have mustered out two more years, it would have been a non-conversation, like non-debate. It's still a debate, but I have him as my GOAT. Yeah. But he only played, it's not only because it's an amazing thing, it's 10 years. Yeah. 10 years at a high level.
I mean,
how did you feel about Ted? I don't know if you saw this. How did you feel about my Mount Rushmore of defensive players? I had Aaron Donald as one. I had Aaron Donald one.
Ray Lewis at two.
Ray Lewis at two.
LT at three. Reggie White at four. And Troy Polamalu at five.
Reggie White's way too low. Deacon Jones has to be on your list because he's the man who created the sack to begin with. And then although we didn't get to see enough of him, Sean Taylor's still by far my favorite NFL player ever. So I think you could replace Troy with him, even in the short amount of time we got to see him play.
Okay.
Damn, that's
didn't
really
Reggie
good.
White make that swim move?
Yeah, it's the did. Club move, but Deacon Jones literally coined the word sack in an interview. He said, I feel like I put your quarterback in a paper bag and I just bump, 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 bump. And that's how we got the word sack.
Really?
Wow.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, don't tell me. I just put y'all on something.
Yeah, you just taught me something. I didn't know that. Hold on. What happened? So
Deacon Jones was being interviewed and they were asking like the pleasure he gets out of hitting the quarterback. And he said, yes. He said, because for me, it feels like I just took their whole team, put them in a bag, and I was able just to beat them up and that demoralized them. That's literally how we got the term sacking the quarterback.
What? Okay. That's what's up. All right, Deacon Jones. Guys, we're going to move forward. We got former NFL QB and current ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky once again saying that Dallas should have moved on from Dak after last season and added that he believes this version of the Cowboys have peaked. So let's start with Dak. We asked this question a few weeks ago. Do the Cowboys need Dak more than Dak needs the Cowboys?
This is new news?
Yes.
He said it again?
Again.
When was this?
He repeated himself. I don't have a
when was
date
this
here.
PR sniper?
Yeah, let's get the PR sniper involved here. But yes, he said it again.
Wow. Interesting.
So do the Cowboys need Dak more than Dak needs the Cowboys?
Yes, for me.
Look,
I'm waiting on Tad.
Here you go.
No,
he
Tad,
said,
you go first.
I swear to tell the truth.
Not for you.
And nothing but the truth.
No, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm just making sure I word this the way, like I said, that, again, I don't want the message to get lost.
Remember,
so,
you're under oath.
Yes. The Cowboys need Dak more than Dak needs the Cowboys. Why? Because Dak is a franchise quarterback. We do not have franchise quarterbacks just walking around the NFL every day. If for whatever reason the Cowboys were to put Dak on a trade or to release Dak, you are a damn fool if you don't think there's at least 12 to 15 other teams that immediately would call to take on Dak's contract, to offer Dak a new contract or offer him that extension. So yes, if you're going to ask me, does a team need a franchise quarterback more than a franchise quarterback needs a team? You damn right.
I like how you put that.
I
that
did.
Boy, good.
I do like
that boy.
I,
good.
I think I remember what happened. I think we asked this question while Mo was here, right?
Okay.
I think that's why it feels like it's repetitive. But is it fair for Orlovsky to say that Dak-led Cowboys have peaked? Has the window closed on a championship for Dak in Dallas?
Interesting. I mean, I'll go first, and then I obviously want to hear from Ted. Like,
Ted shaking Ted his head no, just so the audience.
I'm gonna give Ted a little. Has it closed?
I'm more inquisitive of have they peaked though.
Have they peaked?
Yep.
Well, all right. What year is it for Dak? Dak is going into year nine.
Year
I believe.
Nine.
Right, and so what we're seeing at the court. So the quarterback position is the most important position in sports. So we've seen average teams or bad teams become good or average or great or win if they have exceptional quarterback play, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why our quarterbacks like Dak or like a Ben Roethlisberger or a Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, these guys, they get so much when they win and they get a lot of shit when they lose, right? Because there's so much on their shoulders and there's so much they can control. So we've seen teams with great quarterback play overperform. And so Dak Prescott is, and we did this case study last week, is on pace to be an all-time great, okay? And I just talked about a couple of years ago when he broke his leg, the type of year he was having. Like, this is real shit. Like, look it up. They were averaging 499 yards a game before he went down. It was insane. It was insane. Comes back, boom. You know, the last year threw more picks than we've ever seen. We didn't – think about the story of Dak Prescott. Like, when he first took over for Tony Romo, that was like the shit. That was the story. It's like, damn, this kid coming in, and he barely throwing any picks. He's super efficient. He's protecting the ball. Remember that?
Yeah, of course.
And then so when you have him throw picks, it's like, what the hell is happening? Oh, he's cooked, he's this, he's that, or whatever. But then he comes back last year, a year, you know, just a couple months removed from having this year, where he is now in the MVP discussion.
Yeah,
he threw. Did he have the most touchdowns? The most touchdowns? And then how many picks did he throw, right? So I'm saying all that to say this to you guys is – their window hasn't closed because they have Dak Prescott. And I do agree with Ted that he is a franchise quarterback. And everybody's heard my takes on the quarterback positions. Like, you can't – remember we used to have Ashley Nicole Moss here?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell her, I was like, you know, quarterbacks, they have all the leverage. Why did Deshaun Watson get this contract? Because he's a fucking franchise quarterback. And when you're free, you have all the leverage.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he deserves it or not. You got all the leverage, right? So – the problem with the Dallas Cowboys, and sorry for being this long-winded, and I'll pass it to you, Ted, get your thoughts on this. But it's like time. That's all it is. It's like you got great quarterback. They've done a great job on the roster. Remember, I said there's sometimes they have these great quarterbacks without a good roster. They have a really good roster. And so I think they have to put it together. If I'm the Dallas Cowboys, like, I'm huddling up. And I'm just like, yo, fuck the bullshit, man. Let's literally lock in, band together this year. Eliminate all the distractions. Also, all this shit that they got, like, there's almost like a weight on these players. I feel, mm-hmm. right? When you walk in, you hear it. You wasn't a part of this team 20 or the organization 20, 30 years ago. So that's not really your history, but you hear it in the media every day. And I feel like there needs to be a cleansing where they go in and they're like, yo, fuck it, man. Like, that ain't our shit. Let's go be us. Let's go have fun while we're doing it, and let's go win the Super Bowl. Because that's what you need, because they have everything. They have everything from amenities. They have Coach McCarthy. I wasn't high on this hiring. I'm like, this guy, but they go 12-5, 12-5, 12-5. Last year, I thought he had one of his best years ever as a head coach. Mm-hmm. And Ted said something interesting last week, too, and people ain't really pick up on it. Right? He said something interesting last week. It's like this fucking guy is interviewing, this defensive coordinator is interviewing
postseason
before one of the biggest games in a lot of these guys' lives. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
1 foot out the door.
Like, what are you doing?
More than a foot.
He had both ass cheeks out the door.
Huh? He what?
I said, BC said 1 foot out the door. I said, no, he had both ass cheeks out the door.
That boy was literally like saying goodbye, wow. Like, all right, Dallas. That's all he had left was a hand.
That's cold.
Hey, Dan Quinn went into his 2017 playoff game plan from the last time he played this team and said, here, just use this shit.
Bro, by halftime, he was texting Washington. Hey, y'all got the suite set up for me? By halftime, he was texting Washington.
And then he take
y'all
a couple.
He's like, y'all see what I'm doing, right? That's what he was telling them. Y'all see what I'm doing, right?
I'm tanking for y'all.
Didn't he take a couple guys with him with two?
Several defensive guys and a few coaches.
That was my first time hearing that. Damn. But I mean, Ted, you brought up a great point, and I just wrote it down here. But like we have to also kind of take some of that expectation. Like you said, the Cowboys' expectation is too high because in the last 11 years, these are the only people to win a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes 3 times, Matthew Stafford once, Tom Brady 4 times, Nick Foles in Philly, Peyton, and before that was Russ. That's the only 6 in 10 years.
Say it again. Say it again.
You got Patrick 3 times.
Oh, you saying that point that he had last year? That was really good.
That's a good point.
He be having
man.
Some. Hey, you got to listen to this. You got to listen to him. He's saying some shit. So I'm talking too crazy.
No, I got you. Like, hey. But no, I was thinking about it from last week, and I'm like, that's such a great point because, like, it's really not Dak. I feel like it's the Cowboys' pressure. And Dak is just mixed in the blender with that.
Oh, yeah. He's on there.
BC, we haven't heard from you on this. We waiting.
I was letting y'all rock, man.
Hold on. Time out. No. Hold on. Time out.
Cut
time
off,
out. Yeah, I'm cutting his ass rock. Off. Yes, I'm cutting his ass off. Because put your right
Dallas
hand
hate.
Up. Put your right hand up, BC.
Oh, yes, BC.
I swear. To be myself. Even when we have Ted on the show.
Even with Ted Prescott on the show.
Yeah, don't do that shit because you said we can't trust him.
We can't trust him.
Can we? This is what we gonna do? Cause we got Ted. He gonna be coming in and out. I think we got him maybe twice or 3 times this week.
But that's awesome.
We should take BC's takes and replay them.
Yeah, when Ted's not on the show, right?
No, when Ted's on the show, he's saying Dak Prescott, Coach McCarthy, can't trust him.
Can't
just
trust
trade him. Fire him.
Dak's
go get Bill
washed.
Belichick. So put your right hand up now. There you go.
Let's go.
Now you can go.
Ready?
There you go.
Ask your question. What's your question?
I'll ask you the question again. Is it fair for Orlovsky to say that the Dak Prescott-led Cowboys have peaked? And the second part to that question is, has the window closed on a championship for Dak in Dallas?
I do feel that the window has closed. I do feel that this particular iteration of the window. Hear me out.
Yo, Chad. Chad is really hearing you out right now.
Because something has to change. Obviously, it may not be Dak. It might be Mike McCarthy. Dak should be wanting to get out if they can't get it done. Like, I feel like it is a peaked situation. Like, y'all had the best chance this year and flamed out. Like, flamed out. Didn't even second round champ, flamed out in the wild card game at home. My thing is, I really think that it's the coach. Now, you know, whatever. Dak is there. He has the numbers. They do on paper. They should be getting it done. Now, you did just say that all these other quarterbacks won, but in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. So I don't want to hear about all the other quarterbacks that won. Y'all got in position on paper. You have everything you need. B just said it. We have everything. They have it. Okay, you got everything. So why didn't y'all even get to the championship game? So something is not clicking there in the organization, whether it's higher up, whether it's on the field. Now, Tad, the last time when you spoke, you did allude to, you didn't really kind of say it, but I feel like you was kind of alluding to it might be the coach. It might be a coaching change that's needed. Well, because you said that they're not the ones that's holding the clipboard, right? So that's where I'm getting that from. So at the end
I
of
was specifically, but we talked about defense. Don't do that now. See, you sat here with me the whole time I spoke. Don't act like you didn't hear my message. I specifically spoke about a defensive coach because I believe the last question I heard was, do I trust Jerry, Mike, and Dak? And I told you I do. So why are you going to bring Mike back in here like I said it was a coaching thing?
Because he's a coach.
Said it was a defensive coaching thing.
Oh, okay. So a defensive coaching thing. So
because I told you I felt like our coach was gone, because I also iterated that I believe when Dan Quinn locks in and focuses on the team in front of him, like we saw in week one against your weak-ass Giants, you can't put no points on the board against him. Okay? So again, when the man locks in, you can't put no points on up against him. But yeah, when he already had he was picking out his furniture for his office in D.C., he let us down a little bit. That's what I would say.
Okay. What was he doing, Tad? Right,
To be fair.
Oh, he's picking out furniture.
How much light does my suite get in? I need to know for the color.
Yeah. He already had the moving truck outside the Arlington Stadium?
Yeah, he had his custom Washington headphones and everything. They was waiting on him.
Bro, it was crazy because if you remember before they lost, I think Dallas had a 15-game home winning streak.
Yes.
Like, that's insane, bro.
And you're playing against them.
And let's be clear. And let's be clear here too. Like, I love the love that Jordan Love is getting and the Packers, but like, this is to BC's point. It's like everybody going into this game like, "Oh, they got the Packers and this young boy." Jordan Love, like, come on. And you at home, 15-game win streak?
Yeah. Like, y'all didn't lose to the Eagles or y'all didn't lose to, like, the 49ers in the first round. You lost to Jordan Love.
I agree. We lost. We got our asses whooped. So but to say that we peaked is bullshit because, again, to say that you peaked would to say that you're only winning three games in consistent seasons, that you're only winning four or five games in consistent seasons. Like, Dan Orlovsky and I have had this conversation before. Like, he knows that I believe he's a hater because he ain't saying this about no other quarterback that is winning 12 games a season. He's only saying this about Dak, whether he don't like Dak or whether he don't like the Cowboys, whatever it is. Again, if it's the Cowboys that boost your ratings. But for you to say that a window has closed again on a guy who has just won 36, if we're just going to look at the last 3 years, 36 games in those last 3 years. I believe in those three seasons, he threw, 35, 26, and 37 touchdowns, leading the season this year in completions. You still won the NFC East. You still had a first-round playoff game. Yes, you lost that playoff game, but you had that playoff game. So if you're consistently winning enough games to be put in playoff contention, which is the only goal in the first place, is to punch your ticket, how in the hell could the window be closed? It can't. And you said a window here. So what, did we roll up the car window and we finally get to open up the windows in the house? Yeah. Is that going to be the difference of the championship? We just need to make a bigger window?
Yeah, you need to make a bigger window or crack the window because that window looks closed to me. Like,
the Giants have tinted windows, okay? You haven't seen the light in years.
Yo, Tad, you can't just be so disrespectful against the Giants, bro.
I need you to take your hat off here and stop being biased to the fact you just don't like the team and be completely true to the fact that they still are a good team. They still have the defensive pieces. Trayvon Diggs is still coming back. Liz, we got to figure out who's going to be our starting running back, and we got to figure out who's going to protect that left side. But other than that,
this
team hadn't lost anything.
Yeah, what you mean? Quinn just took however many guys he took on the defensive side. So that defense that you're talking about that was so good in week one, they're a little bit hit, right? Now you need to get somebody on the line.
He may have taken one starter. The rest of the guys were rotational guys. They were still great pieces for us, but the rest of them were rotational. I think he only got one starter. And I got to go back and look because I think that may have been Haskins. I think that's the only starter he got from our defense.
Okay.
Other than that, you still got D-Law there. You still got Mazi, who's going to go through his first real season of full training with those boys. You still got Micah there. Like I said, we're adding Kendricks, who knows Zimmer's playbook. You're getting Trayvon Diggs back. You're adding All-Pro Daron Land, who's still there. We re-signed Jordan Lew. Again, you still have Dakota. You still got C.D. Lamb. Again, nothing has
So let me ask this question.
You guys look strong on paper.
If that's what we're looking at is paper, then how can we say that it's closed?
It's not getting done on the field. Sorry, B. Go ahead.
No. Great debate. I love it.
I love this.
Dak, Ted,
Do you who? Obviously, this is. Let me see how to word this because this is. He going. I know what he going to say.
Yeah.
Will the specific. Dallas Cowboys be in the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, I'm going to say, if you ask me that every year, I'm going to say yes.
Come on, you're under oath. No. You're under oath, Tad. You're under oath.
You're under oath. Right hand raised.
I'm going to say yes because, again, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I said last year, and it's the truth, man. It's the truth. Now, their schedule this year, I got to go back and look at their schedule because their schedule this year is a lot harder than it was last year. But again, like I told y'all in our last time we talked, I have to listen to everybody tell me how much better teams around the Cowboys get, but yet the Cowboys still beat these teams. Again, I know how much preparation, not just the quarterback, but the guys around him, because I see them with the quarterback put into this. So, yes, it's going to be hard. Dak has never had a losing season. That's also my thing when you say a window has closed or this thing has peaked. This guy has never had a losing season. Mm. He's only had an 8-8 season once in his entire career. Other than that, he has never had a losing season. So, yes, like I said, for me to sit up here and tell you all the reasons they'll be in the Super Bowl, I can also give you all the reasons they can't be in the Super Bowl, and that's 31 other teams trying to stop them from getting in there. So, yes, but do they have the pieces to get there? Yes, they do. Can they get there? Yes. Will they get there, bro? We're going to have to watch and see like we do every damn year.
So here's what I would say, right? Like an opportunity for the Cowboys. When you talk about, you know, what held them back last year. It's not Coach McCarthy. It was his managing of Dan Quinn in that week, mm-hmm. right? Like, obviously, a lot of people aren't privy to that information as far as, like, Coach Quinn interviewing, you know, the week of, and it's not, this is not unusual behavior. Coaches do it all the time, right? Some coaches do it, but in recent years, coaches have opted to wait because of the distraction, right? So it's respected when you say, I'm going to wait. Guys appreciate that. Even owners and the teams that are interviewing you, they like that. Dan Quinn didn't. And so the problem is Coach McCarthy, like how he managed that or oversaw the game plan, because that was terrible. I don't know the last time we saw the Dallas Cowboys defense get gashed like that. You got to go back to before Dan Quinn even got there. That was bad, bro. That was bad. So I think Coach McCarthy needs to, well, he probably already did this, just, you know, reflect on, all right, how could I have managed that differently? Because he might be in the same situation this year, right?
Right.
With, you know, well, no, OG is done. What's the off defensive coordinator that they got?
Ted? Mike Zimmer.
Coach Zimmer. Yeah, he might be done. He might be, he might just be, hey, you're going to be a defensive coordinator rest of the way out. But he's a great coach. He had a time in Minnesota. Could he potentially be a candidate next year? Dallas Cowboys are in the playoffs. He's being interviewed or not being interviewed. How do you handle that? Like that's the shit that separates the teams that make it or not. Like that's why Bill Belichick is so great. Eliminate distractions. You think Bill Belichick would have let Dan Quinn put that?
Hell no.
Exactly. Right? I think Dan Quinn is the easy fall guy for this right now, but I don't think that it stops there. I don't think he's the person to be like, oh, it was Dan Quinn alone. Not that he's not responsible or doesn't have blame. I'm just saying alone, I don't think it was just Dan Quinn's issue. There's other things at play there. I think McCarthy, if he's not on the hot seat, he should be on the hot seat.
Oh, Tad, he's definitely on the hot seat. Tad, I mean, you could just take that from the consideration that he hadn't been extended yet.
Exactly. I mean, so, Tad, there's a certain coach out there who has about 6 rings. You know, he was playing up there in the Northeast. He was coaching up there in the Northeast with one of the best quarterbacks ever, if not the best quarterback ever. How would you feel, or what would you think if, because he is available, he happens to be available.
Are you referring to William?
Referring to William. Do you think that he would be able to come in here, there in Dallas, and take you guys to the promised land?
No.
No?
And again, no, because it's not. Awesome. I don't think. Like, I don't think he would click in Dallas. Like, no disrespect to Bill. Like, I mean, I'm sure he's a good guy and everything, but like I said, he's so serious with football. When you see his interviews, when you see everything, like, bro, these Dallas reporters down here ain't going for that shit. Like those one answer questions and stuff, or those one answered questions, and then just his, the atmosphere of Dallas. Like, I mean, I've never been to New England, but I don't imagine it's the city of Dallas. And then again, does Robert Kraft have, I'm sure he has as much pull as Jerry Jones does with his team, but does he have as much say in the operations of the Patriots as Jerry Jones does? And I think that's where Bill Belichick and Jerry Jones would really clash. I mean, you saw it with Parcells and everything else. So Belichick wants to be the head coach, the GM, the partial owner, the VIP, the president of sales. So that's just too many hats that he's trying to wear coming over here. And not only that, those are hats he would have to take out of Jerry Jones's closet. And I don't think he got that combination.
Okay. Great way to put it. All right, guys, we're gonna switch it up a little bit here. We still don't know where Odell Beckham is going to play next season, but we do know that Kim Kardashian will probably be with him wherever he goes. Kim K reportedly wants to have another child and wants Odell, listen to this, to be the father because of his genetics and how beautiful their baby would be. What is going on here? BC, can you chime in for us real quick? Let us know. Kim K,
I don't know. I don't think she has no sway on where he's gonna sign. He's a real football player. He's gonna sign where his fit and his money is gonna go, and she's just gonna have to follow behind. I don't care who you are. That's just how that goes. But I already told you how I feel, man. I just feel like he should just ride off and go play for Team Kardashian. Go get your modeling deals, get your Skims contracts, you know, just go do that. You got a chip already. Just go chill. Like, just chill. Sit back and just take it and just chill. Why are you going to go out here and risk another injury? I just think it's, you know, it's time to just wind it down. But you can't get them off the field, man. They want to be dragged off, so let him be dragged off the field. I just feel like he should just walk away right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in agreement. Again, I will always say I think the Giants got the best of Odell. Unfortunately, injuries and injury gods have taken over his career. Tad, what's your thoughts on Kim K hunting for these genetics?
So obviously got to do better because when I saw this, I was like, what? Odell's with Kim K? So I didn't even know that.
You didn't know?
I saw this morning that I think he's being offered or he's having talks with Miami. So I think she already has played a role in where he's going to go. Like I said, I mean, they met in L.A. when he was with the Rams, I'm assuming. So, and he's not going to re-sign with the Rams. He's not going to the Chargers. So where else does Kim K spend her time? South Beach, Miami, you know. So he go down there with Tua, do all that. And then I'm just worried for the brother, man. Like, you know, no disrespect to those people, but black men in the Kardashian family don't have a good track record after dating a Kardashian. I mean, bro, you look at Lamar, you look at Kanye, you look at Reggie Bush. I mean, all of them, it just seems like they were all at their highest point, and then some Kardashian got in their life, and now we just wonder, are they okay? So, you know, I just hope Odell, and Odell, you know, I just hope in 2 or 3 years we're not asking the same thing, you know, is Odell okay? So.
Bro, all of a sudden Odell like cutting his hair, not cutting his hair, his wardrobe change up. Be like, yo, what's going
he
on?
He wants to be a model, man.
I mean, hey, you never y'all know, see Kanye. Be... Kanye done added like permanent gold slabs or something titanium. In his mouth.
Bro, he look like he got a Cybertruck in his grill.
He got titanium fronts.
Like, it's bad. So I don't know. Not to mention, I mean, I don't know how y'all feel about this, but this is she even having the baby, or is she gonna have another surrogate carry it? You know, like, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Is that your baby? You know, so I said, she shot one out of her in a minute.
I don't even know. Yeah, exactly. I don't even know how much of that to even believe, really, honestly. I also saw something come across the sphere, Twitter sphere, whatever we calling it now, that they may be done. So. And that was this morning as well.
Yeah,
so
I saw it the last 24 hours. Yeah,
yeah. So who really knows? If I was him, I would not be making any football decisions based on Kim Kardashian. That's just.
I wouldn't make any life decisions based off of Kardashian.
Yeah, you know
hey,
what I mean?
Hey, Tad, I'm with you right there, bro. That's crazy. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Dolphins, though. So the coach, Mike McDaniel, said there is actually an offer on the table for Odell. How much do you think, like, I guess, I mean, we kind of answering it, but Kim's influence will be like next season?
No,
like, will she be at the games like Taylor?
I think this is the question first. Like, let's do this first. Ted, from a football standpoint, can it work? You got Waddle, you have Tyreek Hill, right?
Oh, and then no, you have it's OBJ. Not gonna work.
Too much?
Yeah, too much. I mean, I think we saw that just with, and again, I love Odell, but I mean, we saw that with Cedric Wilson, and I love the player Cedric Wilson is. I loved him here in Dallas. When he got sent over to Miami, it's like, where do you fit in? And that's the same thing with Odell right now. Like, are you going to be a slot receiver? Because we know X and Y are Waddle and Tyreek. And it seemed like for his little bit of time in L.A., that didn't seem like he liked the slot all that much. So I just think it's too much. And the same thing, he's a back-end veteran. So, like, what, are you just trying to make six or seven plays a game that are designed just to go to Odell? You know, that's what I'm just saying. Like, where does his role really play in? Not to mention, everybody sees Miami as this high power flying offense because they do have Waddle, they do have Tyreek Hill, but they forget, man, that team runs the ball, especially with Etienne and Mostert. Like, that's what they do. They come, like McDaniels, he comes from the Shanahan tree, so he wants to run the ball first, and everything that he does in the passing game is built off that run game. So, yeah, like I said, I feel like it's going to have to just, what, you find Odell four or five plays here and there that maybe he can get the ball, and then, yeah, I just think it's a waste of time. I agree with what y'all said earlier. I think, like you said, you have your championship, you have your accolades, you still have your looks, you have what health. Take that and go start your next career, man.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
I still think he has a lot left. I don't know.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. I do too. But one, I mean, a lot left is just one injury. One injury can empty the whole tank.
Exactly.
That's correct. True. But sometimes you could be, you know, right there with a quarter of gas, and that's that one injury, and yeah, you can ride that thing out for a minute, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if it's just like, tough, like, do you want to go out this way? And when I say go out this way, like, I mean, a man accomplished like the ultimate in football. He won a championship, and he also got paid, and he's also a superstar, global name, right? Like, he's done some amazing things. But when we think about Odell Beckham Jr., we think about him being one of the best wide receivers. And over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, it's just so many things have happened with the injuries that he hasn't been able to reach that that level of performance again. And he never will. He won't. But exactly. I'm like, damn, can he squeak out 1,000 yards, though? Like, can he squeak out, like, 10, even 10 touchdowns? That's not even hard to do.
For what?
You know, if you get to the red zone.
What is he proving?
I like you just said, it's like, how do you want to go out? Like, as of right now, when you say Odell Beckham to me, still embedded in my mind is the one-hand catch against the Cowboys. So, but does that eventually change to Odell Beckham dropping passes or Odell Beckham being carted off the field again or his injury at the Super Bowl? Like you said, how do you want to go out? Because I don't want those injuries. As of right now, when you say Odell to me, I still have superstar catches in my mind. I don't want to see that back end where it's like, yeah, he should have left the field a long time ago.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. 100%. That's how I feel. Just walk away. That's the thing. A lot of these guys just don't know when to walk away. You have it. Just walk away. You good. You good money. And he has a post career waiting for him.
Yeah.
Go do that.
You gotta feel that. Y'all gotta feel that. Yeah. That y'all gotta feel that energy when your ass open up that check. Be like, oh,
I can play 30 more years.
What is he doing it for? Is it for money? Is it because Odell ain't one of these guys running around with like 9 different kids with 9 different women and all that stuff? So, like I said, is it for money? I think he's still truly playing for the love of the game.
Right.
But it's like, how much of that? Because people forget that Montana played for Kansas City. You know, they forget that. They just Gavin with San Francisco. So that's what I said. That's what I don't want for that man. I just want us to remember the good times about him.
And let's not, also keep
got with Kim K and became the Dennis Rodman of the NFL or something. You know, that's the last thing.
Exactly.
Let's also keep in mind, guys, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season in 5 years.
Yes.
So we're at the halfway mark of a decade.
Yeah.
It just don't seem like it's getting back there, man.
Got a couple of these boys, man, right there trying to pass the kid in a couple categories, wide receiver categories. Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans. I see them boys. Mike Evans already passed me in a few. Oof. I'm just as you.
Yeah, no. I got
Odell
you.
Was one of those guys I thought about, right? Like even Antonio Brown. Like, man, these dudes are about to shatter, you know, a lot of these categories. And then you pay attention. I pay attention. I'd be like, all right, who's active right now that could potentially come past me? Because I'm trying to say how I maintain my little spot.
Right.
But you got to think about it though, man. And you know, so all this, you know, you parents out there that may be listening or even if some youth is listening, is like, you can't take it for granted. You know, and there was moments I took it for granted, or I didn't do the right things or say the right things, and it messed up the money, it messed up the business, it messed up my opportunities, right? It's like Antonio Brown, bro. And I'm saying that because, like, you know, there's this one little stat, perfect like example. Six years in a row, 100 catches. He and I are tied. He was supposed to shatter that. He was supposed to shatter that, Ted. But then all the other stuff get in the way, and now you got Antonio Brown, the recording artist, not one of the best wide receivers. Well, he still probably has that, but Antonio Brown was different, man.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was a perfect example because, yeah, like you said, 2-3 years ago when you mentioned Antonio, I mean, like I said, that was my keeper on fantasy every year just because I knew he would win me the league. So, like, it was like when you spoke about Antonio Brown, you were speaking about one of the best, a guy that you knew couldn't be stopped. Toe Tap Tony, that's what he called himself. And now, you like you said, when you bring up his name, you don't even go to football first when it comes to Antonio Brown. You go to anything and everything else. And, yeah, that's the last thing we want for Odell, bro.
Yeah, for sure. See, okay. That's what we're getting at. That's what we're getting at.
Finally, you and BC agree on something.
Yeah, we've agreed on a few things. BC would be more honest with itself. We probably agree on a lot more.
Not when it comes to the Cowboys.
Only when it comes to the Cowboys, he just hysteria. But Tad, I don't know if you noticed, man, you went viral last week, bro.
Again.
Again. So last week we asked you to give us your top 10 NFL QBs, and this is what you had to say.
Ted, top five quarterbacks, or top 10 quarterbacks, 5 to 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Give us your
right now.
Yep, in order.
From 1 to 10?
Yep.
Pat Mahomes. See where my hand at on the screen. There we go. Pat Mahomes. Dak Prescott. I used to be a fan, but he didn't kind of drop. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I still hold Aaron Rodgers as the top five quarterback. Joe Burrow. With four more.
Jalen Hurts. Let me go
through. Who?
Jalen Hurts.
You said quarterbacks, not running backs.
Bro, that I don't even know who said it, but that was funny, man. Tad, so do you still stand by these comments, bro?
So, man, let me be clear. So that was, I guess, the shit talking I've been giving BC. That was my cowboy hat coming back on a little bit right there, doing a little trolling, like I said. First of all, the man is a quarterback. He is the face of a franchise. He has worked his ass off to get there. Let me make that clear. Is he in my top 10 of quarterbacks? If he is, he's at 10. I don't want to disrespect the man and say quarterback again. That for me is because of consistency. I take nothing away from Jalen Hurts. Like I said, the phenomenal athlete he is. Everything you see on Twitter, he's an amazing person. But for me, when I watch the tape, and again, my opinion, I haven't been blown away. I mean, he had his 2022 season, which was his second in MVP, their Super Bowl run, which I admit was a great season. But as when I look at quarterbacks, pocket play, those statistics, I don't hold him in my top 10. Like I said, one, because that's only 1 year. He didn't light the NFL up his first year in the NFL as a starter. We didn't see all of that glitz and glam last year, which I know he was dealing with coaching changes. But still, like I said, six of those first 10 wins they had were games they truly should have lost. I mean, they probably should have lost to the Redskins. I was looking at two or three other ones that they should have lost. They should have lost their first one to Dallas. And then when you look at QB metrics or things, you know, passing touchdowns, passing yards, QB rating, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Has Jalen ever finished top five, you know, in any of those categories? I think maybe he finished top 10 in one in 2022, and that may have been QB rating. But other than that, his QB rating normally is around the mid-70s, the mid-80s. You know, he's only been above 100 once in that 2022 season. He's never led in touchdown passes. He's never led the category in anything else. And like I said, except he has 41 rushing touchdowns over the last 3 years. Like I said, there's running backs in this league that don't have that. And not that I want to compare, but just, you know, just the hate issue that Dallas or Cowboys and Eagles fans have and everything. Like I said, I have to listen to that, my brother's ass or whatever. But Jalen Hurts, just going off of this 22 season, They were the number one seed in the NFC. I believe he threw, what, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, but had 12 rushing touchdowns. Dak's rookie year in the NFL, he had 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and 6 rushing touchdowns. Again, number one seed in the NFL, but you didn't hear all the bloviating about Dak and how he was top 10 and all this. So why is it so crazy now that if I do the same thing for a guy that I understand went to one Super Bowl run, why is it so crazy for me not to hold him in that same category? I don't get it. But like I said, if you want me to force him to put him in my 10 over the what he's done the last 3 seasons, I can find that. But just looking at the tape, what he's done over his years as a starter, like, again, nothing to take away from him, but I don't hold him as a top 5-10 quarterback in this league. I don't.
All right. So who is your top 5 in the NFC right now?
Well, he gave that.
In the NFC.
Just the NFC.
So the top. Just in the NFC. I would go Dak.
At one?
If I got to go in order, yeah. I mean, especially like I just said, I'm also a consistency and a what have you done for me lately. Yeah, so of course, if we're just going off of last year, Dak is one. I would give Jared Goff as of right now 2. Again, if I'm being fair and what you've done, he gets 3 because, again, he did take his team to a Super Bowl. They did win 10 games last year. 4 in the NFC. I'm not going to put Brock Purdy up there just yet, even though he had an amazing year. It was still just the 1 year.
You tough.
Who'd you say?
You said you're tough.
You're tough because that's the second time you've done that where you want to see sustained success. You're a sustained success guy.
You don't make the Hall of Fame off of one good season. I mean, not that I'm saying that any of these guys are Hall of Fame players, but, yeah, like, since when has somebody been inducted into the Hall of Fame off of one good season?
Right.
It doesn't happen. Like I said, we've seen guys come out here and light the league up and have that amazing season, and then once teams get tape on you, we don't see that any longer.
Right.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. But, you know, like I said, I gave you 3 – like I said, and for me right now, everybody else is still too young. Like I said, I truly think everybody's kind of falling off. Like I said, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if you'd asked me, I'd have probably put Kyler Murray in my top 5 in the NFC. But as of late, I won't put him in the top 5.
Jordan Love.
Who?
Jordan Love.
Yeah, like I said, off that playoff game, he has. His last 2 years have been pretty good. So we can add Jordan. I'll put him at 5. I'm not going to put him at 4 yet. Just because even in his own admission on that podcast with Micah, he said, like, bro, that game against y'all was too easy. Like, he said, we looked up and knew we were going to be able to run the ball on y'all. Like I said, so for a quarterback to go in there and say that he just saw, looking at the defensive package, that we knew we were going to be able to do whatever we wanted, I mean, that's crazy.
That's
yes.
tough.
And then,
wow. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone to a Dallas Cowboy Philadelphia Eagles game in Philly?
In Philly, no, I have not. Like I said, I was talking to a guy the other day.
Go.
Like I said, I want to. People threaten me all the time. And what'd you say, BC?
Oh, no, I didn't say anything. I think that was who that was.
I was saying you got to wear a shiesty if you go.
I get threatened all the time about you need to come to Lincoln Financial, wear a Dak jersey, and see what happens to you and all that stuff, man. But truth be told, I just don't like the cold weather. Like, if they truly would play an earlier game, I would go. Like, I'm not worried about anybody. To me, at the end of the day, it's football, bro. If you're losing your character over a game and over me just really just shit-talking, like, you got bigger issues at the end of the day.
That's true.
I don't mind walking through and people yelling at me. My brother sucks. I've been through that. Like I said, I experienced that everywhere. But the truth be told, the main reason I hadn't gone to Lincoln Financial is because the first game is always here in Dallas, and the next one is December 7th or November 23rd, and it's snowing, and I'm not doing that shit. I've done it before. I'm not sitting up there doing that.
Don't go, bro. Don't. I just don't go.
Yeah, don't do it. Yeah,
there's
don't
just
do
some.
It.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna piggyback on what you were saying. Yeah, don't do it, man. Just stay over there in Dallas.
There's some places you just don't go to, right? Like, you know, like I always told my family. I'm like, yo, playing for the Denver Broncos. We playing against the Raiders when they were in Oakland. Don't even go. Like, my lady, you can't even go. Just can't go.
It's not a good look.
Yeah, even if you don't have any beef with them, like, even Philly, like, it gets rowdy in there.
Mm-hmm.
It gets rowdy in there. It's crazy.
Ted,
nobody can be worse than New Orleans, bro. That is by far the loudest and rowdiest stadium I've ever been in my life.
Wow.
But are they rowdy, though? Disrespectful?
What? Are they rowdy and disrespectful? Yes. Bro, it's the Dallas Cowboys. Do you forget the jersey I walk in wearing?
Oh, that's just
like,
yeah.
They're not fancy anybody. But, I mean, if you want the God honest truth, I was built for this because that being in the SEC, oh, when you go to LSU, when you go to Baton Rouge, no, there's not a stadium or a fan base in the NFL that is going to do you worse than LSU.
Really? Is that bad?
Oh, yeah. Oh, LSU tough. The best compliment I ever got at LSU was a girl flying by on a golf cart, threw her little cup at me, said, oh, I'm sorry, baby, you fine, but you tiger bait, and threw another one at me.
Oh,
and
just kept
going like this. And that was the best. That was the best hazing I ever got at an LSU game.
Tab, before we move on, I have to ask you this, bro. What is it that you keep looking up at? Like, you seem to have all the stats in front of you when you look up.
Oh, I don't have shit in front of me. If you want me to be honest with you, bro, there's something that keeps, like, flying around this little glowing light that keeps catching my eye. But all I'm looking at, I hate to say it on this damn thing, I have, like, these weird-ass cat paintings. Oh, that's right here on my wall.
Whoa, you said cat?
Oh, yeah,
it's these weird-ass cat paintings, bro. Like, I found them at this store. This dude was doing, I don't know, I'd have to show them to y'all. But, yeah, that's the only thing that's right there.
Yeah, man, I'm I was going to say cat daddy, but that sounds crazy with four guys on here. Yeah. But
what's a cat daddy?
Just being I love cats, bro.
I do enjoy it. So look,
you're a cat
the only
daddy?
Real fear I have.
I got two.
Yeah. Oh, I got two as well. Like I said, the only real fear I have is mice, bro. And I'm an outdoorsman and everything, but I don't do mice. I don't do rats. I don't do none of that shit. And just the smell of a cat will keep mice out your house and out your yard. So you once go. I found that out, I've had a cat ever since.
Boom.
Oh, you ain't from
cats
the city.
Are the best.
It's okay, Woo. I'm going to start introducing the show like that. Brandon Marshall here, your host. We got BC in the booth. We got Ted, two-time sports Emmy
Big
winner. And we got Cat Daddy.
Andrew. Like I'm from the 70s.
Bruh. Yeah,
Cat Daddy.
Cat Daddy. All right, Cat Daddy.
Cat Daddy. That's crazy.
All right, guys. We're going to do some notable comparisons in the QBs. Who have not won a Super Bowl, and I need to know who is going to win one first. And if your answer is neither will win one, that works too. All right? So we have up first Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts. Who wins the Super Bowl first?
I'm all in on the Dallas Cowboys, and then obviously a lot of that has to go through Dak Prescott. So I have Dak Prescott winning a Super Bowl before Jalen Hurts. That's my answer.
Okay.
I agree. And that ain't even got nothing to do with the fact, like I said, Jalen had a shot. It's tough to get back there, and that's hard to do, especially, like I said, even that team that he had has already been gouged and, you know, dismantled from that Super Bowl run. While Dallas, like I said, we give them shit every year on not going after free agents, but they have been able to keep that team intact. So I agree. I think it's the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott.
If I'm going off of your metrics of what have you done for me lately – I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts.
He threw his hands.
Whatever you've done for me lately doesn't go back 2 years. It only goes back a year.
He said.
And he lost in the same round we did, bud. After losing more games than we did and losing more towards the end of the season. But that's your opinion. I'm not going to fight you on
it. I'm just saying. They've been there. He's been there. He knows what it smells like. That trophy was like right there. So.
But it ain't.
As Russ once said, the chill of the trophy. I think he was a lot closer to it.
Yeah, he walked by. He felt it. He felt the chill. Now he ain't get to touch it, but he felt it.
I mean, Dak walks by five every day he goes into practice. That don't mean he was close to it. Like
those ain't chilly no more.
Bro, those ain't chilly. From another century, bro.
Yeah, those ain't even chilly no more.
His ain't chilly because it ain't at his house. It's in Kansas City.
This is true. But guess what?
It is in Kansas. He got there. I ain't gonna lie.
He got there. So that's all. That's all I need from Dak right now. Listen, I'm willing to.
I didn't know we started celebrating appearances. Like, when did that become the thing? I get it. I mean, you made the championship game. You made the Super Bowl. But I thought the whole thing was going home with it.
Exactly. You just said it was all about getting 10, 12 wins a season. This is what I'll be going with B about. Oh, 12 wins consistently. 12 wins. Oh, they're good. Yeah. Like, bro,
he won 12 last year.
Win the shit. Win everything. I don't want to hear regular season champions. There's no trophy for the regular season.
Go
Can
get
somebody
it.
Whose team won more than five games talk to me?
Go get it. Go get it. Don't try to change the subject. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys right now. We'll get on the Giants.
Talk about Dak and Jalen Hurts and who wins the Super Bowl first. That's what we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, well, I'll put Dak first if he goes to another squad. How about that?
Leave it right there. That's, leave it right there.
You know
By
what?
The way,
I hate that argument too because everybody does that shit. I ain't gonna lie. I'm somebody that has done it too, and I had to catch myself the other day. Why do we do that all the day, all the time? Oh, if my quarterback, if he was on just this team, if he went to that team, if Dak was on this – That's we got to stop that argument, bro. We have to stop that argument.
Sometimes the environment, sometimes teams, players need a change of scenery, right? We hear that all the time. Oh, he needs a change of scenery. Maybe he just needs a change of scenery to go win with a real squad. Go get a team with a real coach. Like, I'm not sold on Mike
McCarthy. Been watching football, that's been proven once. I'm just saying.
All right, guys. Let's move to the next one. This one's actually going to be a tough one for you, I think. Okay. Or not. But Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, who wins the Super Bowl first?
Lamar Jackson. I just think about, oh, man, it's tough.
Lamar.
Yeah, the Baltimore Ravens is a championship organization. Yeah. The Cincinnati Bengals are learning to become, how to become a championship organization. And when you have that type of quarterback, it makes it easy. But what about everybody else in the building, right? It's just, this is going to be a big year for him, but I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. You're talking about that defense is back. That Baltimore Ravens defense is back. They add King Henry, right? I think Lamar is getting more comfortable with leading the way from an offensive standpoint, the passing game. He has Zay Flowers, so they have their little nucleus there. They're going to add a few pieces here and there. Yeah, my answer is Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Tab?
I agree. Lamar, just because, like you said, that defense is coming back. People forget that Lamar, I believe, won six games this year where he scored one or no touchdowns. Big part to that defense. And again, with the Bengals, as good as Joe Burrow is, they're starting to lose pieces. They just lost Joe Mixon. They're losing T. Higgins. So it's going to be hard for him to get over there, especially with that division and everything he has in it now.
Mm. All right.
I agree. Easy. Lamar.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, we're going to go into our two-minute drill for the last two here. We got C.J. Stroud or Josh Allen. Who wins Super Bowl first?
C.J. Stroud. And I mean, not only C.J. Stroud, but I also love this head coach. C.J. Stroud is special. C.J. Stroud is the guy that we need to be paying attention to that can disrupt this quarterback hierarchy over the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, he is something special. I think this is where, you know, you mentioned this last week, Ted, where you said C.J. Stroud, well, I got to see it. It's only been 1 year. Got to see it, man. That's enough tape for me.
Yeah. Ted?
No, I agree. C.J. Stroud, for the same reasons he said. I love D'Amico Ryans. I knew that Houston was going to bring him in, him playing for them as well. And for the big part, like I said, Josh still has issues where we don't trust him with the ball. It seems like his teammates at times don't trust him. And C.J. Stroud turned Tank Dell and two other receivers that guys had never heard of into names that we're all paying attention to next season. So, yeah, I go with C.J. as well.
Good point.
Agreed.
D.C.?
C.J.
Agreed?
Yep.
All right, last one, guys, and then we're out of here. We got Kirk Cousins or Jordan Love. Who wins the Super Bowl first?
Ooh. Neither.
Neither.
Yeah.
Neither. Neither. Hold on. So the answer is neither.
It's not because I don't respect Kirk Cousins, because I'm looking at the field. Like, we're talking about the NFC. Got to go through the NFC. Mm-hmm. I think they can make the playoffs, but I don't think they can win it. And the same thing with Jordan Love. Like, in the Packers, can they make the playoffs? Yeah, they can make the playoffs, but can they really take out the top three? No, I don't see it.
Tat?
I got Kirk Cousins just because I don't like to do the neither role, more so because of the team he's with now. He's in Atlanta. He has young receiver, young tight end, a hell of a young running back, and that division, honestly, is a cupcake. I mean, all you got to deal with is the Saints, the Buccaneers, and then who else is in the South? So, yeah, the AFC, the NFC South is weak, so he has a chance to constantly win that division and make those playoff runs, which, again, that's the whole goal.
Boom. BC in the booth. Woo out West. You got Brandon Marshall, your host. This is Paper Route, and we got future Ted Prescott, two-time winning, Grammy-winning analyst, commentator, new media personality, joining us again tomorrow, I believe. Right, Ted?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Thank you.
Let's go, baby. Paper Route.
Let's do it.